Welcome to episode 233 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace and I'm here with Nick and Marty. How you doing, Marty?
Going well, thanks, Jace. Going a bit better than a lot of business owners out there, mate. I've been running the traps and talking to a fair few business owners, and it's amazing how many people are working harder than ever and are just stuck in their business. Like, they're the main revenue driver. It's like they're working five jobs. They might be turning over 800 to 1.2 mil. And they've got teams sort of building underneath them. But because they're not giving any time to those teams because they're trying to generate the revenue, they're basically cooking themselves. And they're suffering personally, suffering in their relationships with their kids and, their wife or partner. And it's and I just feel like we've got to do something about it, lads. We've got to be able to draw these business owners out, small business owners, and actually start to delegate a bit more effectively. And I was looking up some stats, and just in regards to just burnout rates, and what I was reading was 45% of business owners are pretty much burnt out, which is interesting in itself. And solo business owners, consultants are actually burning out 2.25 times to that with people that work within bigger teams as well. Obviously, the camaraderie has an impact and people are sort of leveraging support across different sectors. And another interesting stat, 52% of female business owners were suffering mental burnout as well. So whether they're even taking more on board than the guys. But I think we've got to do something about it. Nick, what are your thoughts on that? Have you seen it with people you've spoken to?
And mate, just a struggling business owner here doing doing five jobs. Did that answer your question?
Doesn't change, does it, really?
It doesn't change. Look, it just it does change, I think, just to a different, just at different levels. But, I'd totally agree with you. I think that's why so many businesses fail. And, I can relate as well. There's times in business where you think, why am I doing all this? Is it worth it? But then you've got to make sure you're on the right path and you have the right plan and you stick to it and work through those times. But I think if you working in your business for a long, long time, I think it's got an expiry date. It's like staying in the same job for 30 years. Not many people do that. So if you're not in your business making changes, growing it, changing your role in the business, and I've mentioned this before, I think the reason I've survived in business so long is because my roles evolve generally each year or at least every couple of years. But I think if you're stuck doing the same thing over and over again and you can't see any growth or what the next phase looks like, I can see how people would burn out. And your comment there on females was really interesting, and I'm a recent father, as people might know, so I see the toll motherhood in a bad way, just the reliance on mum from kids. And of course, as dads, we help and we take on a lot of the load, but there's just no doubt, particularly in the early days, that the females do take on more, generally speaking. And then if you're trying to get back to work and balance that, maybe that has an impact. So, looking forward to ripping into this topic.
Working with a lot of business owners as well, couldn't agree more, in a sense, Marty, than what you brought to the table. It's one thing for the data to say something, but then, the three of us work with a lot of business owners. So, if I turn around and say, "Oh, Marty, this doesn't ring a bell. I don't hear anyone talking about burnout." But there's the ones as well that know they're burnt out and know they're struggling. But then there's the ones also that are kind of faking it till they make it. And I'm almost more worried about them who kind of continue to hustle and run a million miles an hour and juggle a whole bunch of things. And before you know it, there's more businesses than ever falling over right now. And they're doing it really tough. But, I was going to ask Marty, What do you think? Why do you think burnout's becoming so common, or why do you think these numbers are the way they are? Is it the misconception that to run a business you got to hustle hard and work all these hours, or what is driving it, you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's from the point of view that I think people see it almost as a trophy that they're doing everything in the business, and I think the question is always to ask whether you want to be a consultant or you want to be a business owner. You have to get that And a lot of consultants feel like they're very good at what they do and they should transition to being a business owner and build a bigger business, but it's not always their personality makeup as well. So I think you've got to be really clearly defined as to, okay, am I a consultant? If you're a consultant, you want to be earning probably, you know, 2 to 3 times more than what you would as an employed role or business owner, just purely because you might not be able to sell the asset on the back end. Some people with product may be able to, but you've got to consider that. But what I find is when consultants try and transition into business owners, they spend a lot of money on making the business look bigger without really detailing what the business needs to do for them as a business owner and bring good people in, strong sales team. There's this moment in the transition where it becomes more superficial without results actually coming in. And cash flows is always something which can, you know, derail business owners pretty quick. So I think always as a first point of call, I think you really got to understand and map out a plan over, you know, 1 month, 3 months, 12 months as to how you're going to generate the revenues in that transition across, and maybe put some timeframes around that with some modeling. Because what I'm seeing in the small business sector is people that are building smaller teams and giving them no attention. And the business owner's still running all the revenues, and then the people are becoming disenfranchised because they're not getting support. And then the business owner's annoyed because they're paying them a wage and they think they should just deliver because the business owner can do it. And it's almost a whole shift of perspective as a business owner. You've really got to model out the different stages of growth in business. It might be, all right, we want to get to, you know, from one person or two people to six. Then we go from 6 to 20, which is going to look different again. Then it might be 20 to 50. So you've got to be able to model and really go through the dynamics of what that looks like, not just do it because you think that is the right thing to do. And I'm being maybe a little bit harsh there. It's people aren't doing it willingly. It's sort of just happening because that's where their skill set is. And then the other thing I'm finding is they don't want to let go of the skill set that creates the revenue, because now you're getting a compounding negative effect that can dismantle the whole thing. So it's a really interesting dance, and it's something that really has to be given a lot of thought and given a lot of planning to ensure that what you're doing is the right thing to do, because you don't want to undo, you know, the good work you've done as a consultant as well. Resonate?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Wait, what do you think are the ways? I mean, is there a way somebody identifies this? I mean, is it just knowing you're working too many hours and feeling burnt out? And, you know, to kind of get to that mindset shift point as a business owner, is it handing off just an X number of tasks or looking at your roles and responsibilities and trying to think, what could I get rid of that I shouldn't be doing? You know, when you think about the 5 hats or more that a business owner wears, do you have a roadmap of where to start, Marty, and what the steps would be?
Yeah, well, I've certainly been in that circumstance previously in my first business, where I was trying to do it all, and it was a bit of a trophy, right? It was a bit of, look at me, I can do this, why can't you? That's a really good model for growing a business, isn't it? So it's so I get it, but I think, and it might be just, you know, again, I talk about perspective. I always thought you had to work extremely hard to get any form of reward. That was in my own psyche. And that was like, it was a good thing and it was a bad thing as well. So the thing that I've learned as I've got older is, how can you scale with a sense of ease and simplicity as well? You know, so how do we do that as business owners, where we get some form of, and I don't like the word balance because there's always effort that's going into a business. There's no doubt about it. But how do you get the business to do what you want it to do, and how do you provide opportunities for obviously people and clients within that business as well? This is not just a handball. This is a well thought out idea of going, okay, how can I now do the things I want in my business? So what am I good at? I might be good at the high deal level or bringing great clients to the business. I might be good at leading people within the business. I might be great at the financial operations. And so where is my skill set? And then where can I put that skill set that's the highest impact in the business to deliver a result? But in doing that, once you've established what's good for you and what you want to do, then you've got to build great teams and great leadership around the other aspects of the business as well. And what I'm finding is that's where it's spread really thin. You've got a lot of business owners going, I'd love to be doing that, or I want to be doing that in the business, but I just can't sacrifice. And they think it's a jump off a cliff, but I'd rather someone, if they're going to jump off a cliff, actually have a parachute and actually build, you know, build a model and a transition period. You know how we've talked about when you're starting a business, you want 6 months, 9 months of income so you're not under stress right away. Well, maybe you've got to put time into the sales team in order to create a result that takes away, you know, your need of providing 100% of the income. It might be 50% of the income. So you might stagnate it and transition it over a period of time. And every business owner and every business is going to be different. But what I find is they're hanging on, and then they jump off the cliff and all hell breaks loose because they're trying to build models now. They're not particularly skilled in doing that. And that's where they need the guidance to go, well, hang on, let's not just go there right now. Let's map out what you want to do, what it looks like. Like, where do you want the business to be in 12 months? What's the business doing? What's it delivering? Let's set KPIs. Let's make sure we're getting high-performance salespeople. Instead of, you'll find in that small business sector, is everyone underperforms the business owner. That's terrible. Terrible. You've got to, that's a lack of confidence in the business model and system. You know, that business owner is not confident in bringing the best people to that business. At some subliminal level, they're not sure that that person's best placed there. It's a confidence thing a lot of the time. But when you know you've got strong systems, like I know with Innovate and Future, there are strong systems in play. You know that when you're bringing a mortgage broker in to Innovate, they've got the highest chance of performing because of the support structure that's there, the mentorship, leadership, and systems in play. Like, you can confidently go, we know a top performing broker at 60 mil can do 100 at Innovate. There's no doubt about it. But you can't make that call if you haven't set up that whole infrastructure. And that's where the problem is. Sometimes it's fear, sometimes financial fear, sometimes it's skill, sometimes it's just not having another business partner to be able to nut this through effectively. But that's where you need to get advice, either off other business owners who have done it, business advisors, whatever the case may be. But just getting the advice so you can streamline a tangible plan of attack to be able to get to the other side of it so you can really enjoy your business and not cook yourself.
I think you're spot on, but I think the scary part for people is, you know, and I'll refer to our business. Yeah, we've got amazing systems and people and whatnot, but it's a very expensive business to run. And as is any business our size, you've got a big fixed cost line. So I think that is what scares people, and maybe that's why they don't take the jump. But to your point earlier, you've just got to have a plan, and you've got to speak to people that have been there and done it, possibly made mistakes or done it the right way the first time if they have happy days. But, you know, if I think about, let's talk about a service-based business, because that's probably where most of the burnout is,
yep.
You know, where people are getting paid for their time, their client-facing time, a bit harder to scale than a product business. So, the scariest thing for a consultant, as you referred to them as a business owner, is to bring someone in who does what they do. Now, it's scary because a salesperson is generally reasonably expensive. Salespeople generally can be harder to manage than people in administration just because they're hungry. Salespeople will have a lot of needs because they will want the tools that they need to succeed. So that is a very scary jump. So, you know, if I think back to the way that I did things, and probably my biggest lesson was you've got to have baby steps in growth. So the reality is you're in business for a lot of people because you're really good at the client-facing stuff and the sales, because you think, oh, this is great. How good is this? I'm going to start a business. So for you, in the early days, for you to take yourself away from that, I think is a mistake. So the best thing that you can do, in my opinion, is how do I leverage my skill set the most? And you did mention that. So your first step into growth should just be administration. Who can help me do double what I'm doing now? And at the same time, possibly reduce the burnout factor, right? Because they're not in the office on a Saturday catching up on bookwork. So how do I get people around me initially? And that could just be one admin person. It might start at 3 days a week. Then that admin person goes to 5 days a week. And then you might have someone who's really good in admin, and then you can progress them. But I think you should have a couple of people around you before you even think about going into another sales, executing another sales role. Because to your point, Marty, you can't just hire salespeople and it all works. And I've learned that the hard way. You've got to have that system and that that training built out. You've got to have the lead flow for them. How do you do that? Well, you probably need to do it with help externally, and you need time to do that. So I think the best way to do it is say, well, I can get someone admin 3 days a week at 50 grand a year or even offshore. That's going to help me bring another 30% of revenue. I can park that revenue away, and I can, you know, make sure I'm hitting my this is your area, Jace, but I can make sure I'm hitting my minimum net profit targets. And I'm also parking some money away that if I go and get a gun salesperson, I can commit to them for 6 months and I don't need them bringing volume in. Because this is the other thing when you bring salespeople in, I've learnt this again the hard way, as of you with me, Marty, it takes a long time for salespeople to get traction in a new environment. So as a business owner, if they're really eating into your cash flows, you get stressed, it impacts your ability to do what you do. So you need to have a runway for them, whether it's industry dependent. Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? But I know in our business, it takes salespeople 12 months to be, to be really set, and then 18 to 24 months for us to get really good profitability off them. So that's a really long journey. There is a long lead time for our business as far as when we see clients to when revenue hits the bank account, but a lot of other service-based industries would be the same. So for me, it's baby steps in growth. Go with the low-hanging fruit. If I'm bringing in 800 grand a year, how do I bring in 1.2? Myself, without another salesperson. So that's where people like yourself, Marty, can come in, map out a proper plan, and make growth not seem, you know, so scary. And it gets scary.
I like what you said of the incremental steps, and and what I've seen over the past years is a lot of people, like all this stuff on blitz scaling, and people get bullish, and I mean, this is, we're talking a different ballpark, right? And like people bring on three salespeople out of nowhere, big expense, don't give them any attention, you know, not formulated systems, and you know, they just burn their dough. But just like you said, like Nick said, you know, get the support to do more of what you do well. And when you bring that first person on, go out there looking for a gun, you know, looking for the best person you can afford to get them on board. Because if you can build a team of high performers starting from the first hire, and now you're not always going to strike gold, right? We know that. But if you can at least in your mindset know what you know is a good performer from what you're doing and try and attract that person in, then immediately you're taking that next step of someone that's going to do very, very well in your business. And you are going to be able to spend time with one person instead of three that's not going to impact the whole revenue, you know, that you're trying to produce. So again, bite-sized steps, you know, get the plate spinning well. When it's spinning well, creates more revenue. Then you get another person and another person, and all of a sudden, you've got something.
I'll just say too, mate, I love that you brought up the blitz scaling, and I think people would read a lot of these books. You need to understand what industry you're in and whether or not that is feasible. And if you're in a service-based industry as an accountant, as a mortgage broker, as a lawyer, scaling is very, very difficult because it's all about people, and you need people producing those hours, and people are expensive. So you know, it's not a product where you can just increase the marketing, bring more in online, get a bigger warehouse and whatnot and scale up quickly. You need the right people in your business, and that's probably the hardest part of being in business is getting the right people, and then you need to make sure that they succeed. So it's very difficult to scale a service-based industry. That takes a lot of time, and I think people just need to be aware of that when they are reading books like Blitzscaling. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Blitzscaling. Yeah. Don't blitz fail.
Yeah.
Jace, what have you seen in your own business from, you know, from you've obviously had rapid growth and would have learned a lot of lessons along the way. In hindsight, what have you learned, you know, in regards to building a business and bringing people on and maintaining cultures while trying to do it? Because you've been pretty aggressive in, you know, and that's good. But, yeah, a lot of lessons come through that.
Yeah, it's probably a whole podcast episode in lessons learned over 8 years. No, I think realistically, you know, and flowing through some of this as well, most business owners start a business because they've got something that they specialize in or they feel strongly about, or that superpower that is, you know, I love sales. And as an accountant, there's not that many accountants that want to get in front of a crowd and sell, do a podcast and sell, and it's more selling value. The ultimate reason why I exist and then the business came to exist was I wanted to help people have a better future. I wanted to help people have a better life. And for me, being able to, you know, translate that value by talking to people and talking about what we do and asking them questions about where they want to go, that was my superpower. Of any time I got in front of a business owner, I could instantly gain their trust and then want to help them get to where they got to. But then all of a sudden, when you start scaling and growing and the different hats that I started to wear, I started to lose sight of a bit of what was the reason I existed and what was the thing I did well. And all of a sudden I was doing tax returns and financials and I was in the trenches a bit, and then you were training some admin and then you're bringing on bookkeeping. And unless you've got a very deliberate plan as to what your business should look like, where it's going to go, who are the key hires you need to build a high-performing team, you can start to make very short-sighted reactive decisions based on getting busy, having too many hats on. So I think in the early days, like, you know, of the OG Jason Gregg kind of version of the business, it was, shit, we're getting busy, quick, hire some admin. Oh, great, reach out to someone. We need that accountant, hire that person. And it was just filling capacity, because in professional services, as you touched on, Nick, the more humans you've got, the more time you can sell and the more really production you could do. But all these years on, what we've learned is without the correct systems and procedures and workflows and practice management systems and, you know, reviewing WIP, charging the correct price, you can have all the clients in the world, but if you do a whole bunch of work for them and don't charge them the right value, you make no money and the business goes nowhere. So yeah, there's just so much to focus on as a business owner, and the lessons are far and wide as to where they've got to. But ultimately it really does come down to, you know, creating that high performing team, having great culture so that people want to come to work and they understand why they exist, and mapping it out properly with a longer term vision rather than the short term reactions. So anyone who gets into business, you can start to think that short term, what do I need to do? What's my cash flow look like? But the bigger purpose of why you exist and what you're trying to build, if you know a bit of that in advance, it makes the decision making day to day a lot easier. And I think it was not revisiting that early enough in the early days. We had this big idea of we'd be this many people and we'd be in this many locations. And then a couple of years in, it was like, well, is that plan really serving us? And it wasn't. So we had to kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you can go any action.
Yeah, well, it's just such a good point around what do you want out of this? And here's the thing, like, not many people want to do what you and I are doing, Jason. That's more than okay. So
100%.
For me, I wanted to build a business and I wanted to have a big team and go that way. But some people, if they go into business, they might just want to create a really good income for themselves. Because even though you and I and Marty, we're building these big businesses, at the end of the day, it's all about the income on the bottom line and what we're actually trying to, you know, put on the table for our family. Whether, no matter how big the business is, if the business is big and there's no money at the end of the day, what's the point? And those are the things that we've learned. So, you know, I would challenge people, if you are burnt out, why are you burnt out? Like, is the business going in the direction you want it to go? Or did you really only ever want to be a one or two person operator and earn really good money? So if you're burnt out and you're doing too much, hypothetically, you look at your client base and you say, well, I've got too many clients. How did I get that many clients? That's not where I wanted to be. Who do I like dealing with? I'm going to cut the bottom 20%. I'm going to increase my fees by 20%, see what happens. And, you know, you hear these cool stories of people that, I'm going to triple my fees or double my fees and just see what happens. and you see their best clients stay and they make the same amount of money doing 70%, 60% of the work. So I think...
Well, they make more money doing less work. Half the time it turns out that way too.
Yeah, and it's such a common story and I can really, I actually really believe it. So I love what you said there because did you get busy just because you're good at what you do and then you started taking on all these clients, but it's never really what you wanted? If that's the case, decide what you want. I want to be a one or two person operator. I'm going to up my fees and just see what happens. If I still haven't got clients drop off, I'm going to up them again. Or if I don't want to do that, I'm just going to tell 20% of my client base that I'm just not right to provide them the service that they need. So yeah, understand what you want. Sometimes you don't have to grow and people get busy without even really, or get bigger without even wanting to do that. It's just organic because they're good at what they do.
Yeah, and generally when you start focusing on those high-end type, you know, clients, if that's what ends up happening, you know, the quality of work goes up too because you've got more time to deliver to those exactly people right. as well. And it's not about, and you've both explained it really well, it's not about how many number of people are in the business. It's what is that business delivering, you know, financially with the amount of people that are there. So for young players, really important not just to think about perspective, think about real financial disciplines in your growth. And that, you know, again, you'll make different decisions based, and we've all done it. We've all, you know, extended where we shouldn't have and had to regress sometimes. So don't worry, we've all been there. But it's really important to be able to, you know, be able to think upon it in terms of exactly what Nick was saying, Jace. You know, what do you want from your business? And it's just people are stuck in quicksand. When they're in it all, they're flapping their wings on everything and they haven't got clarity as to what that is. And sometimes they just need to be pulled out and work a direction and then start building around that direction as well. Because what's the point of burning out if it doesn't need to happen that way? But people feel like there's no choice. They're stuck. So really interesting that... Yeah, you found ways through, but even finding ways through, you can regress, and you know, we've all made mistakes around that. And I feel for these people because they're decent, good people, and they're just haven't been at that point where they've overextended and done it with fluency. They've done it because they have ambition, which I've got no problem with that at all. But it's just like you say, it's an incremental move sometimes, and that's going to create a bigger compounding move down the end. It might be in 2-3 years time, but don't get too impatient because it costs money getting impatient.
100%. Marty, if somebody's come across this podcast, maybe they're not regular listeners, maybe they are and they're burnt out or they're feeling stressed or they think, you know, they are wearing too many hats in business, what is the next step? Do they get in touch with you, Marty? Is that what would be a good first step to discuss what's going on in their world?
Give me a call. Set up a plan. Within 3 months, you'll have a direction, if not 3 weeks. Hopefully you'll be pretty much on your bike after that first session. Because sometimes, and we know this as business owners because we're talking to other business owners all the time. Sometimes it's one conversation where people go, oh, I didn't see it from that perspective, or I was blind to that. They might be exceptional at what they do. Like I said, it's just another perspective and then a plan and a bridge to get them to where they want to go. So, yeah, give me a call.
Yeah, for sure. It's time to free up that headspace so that you can actually think strategically rather than wearing so many hats and being stuck in your business. So if you are listening now, thank you so much for making it to the end of the episode. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, all the things that you do depending on the platform that you're on. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And until next time.
Plan to fail or fail to plan. I don't know which one makes sense, but you got to do something different. Otherwise, you're going to drown. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.